You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to thank you for joining us. Today, the topic at hand has to do with digital assets, cryptocurrency, tokenized assets. And the reason being, first, this is the future of finance, blockchain technology. I've been saying this for years, and it's coming true when you're seeing it evolve. Almost every week, there's something new happening. Just a few days ago, well, maybe a couple of days ago, what wound up happening is that you have Fannie Mae, okay, the biggest lender for mortgages, and they agreed to start accepting mortgages that are backed by digital assets. Now, they're going to first start with Bitcoin. And I'm sure this is going to evolve very quickly into USDT, USDC, and other, layer one native tokens, Ethereum, Solana, Pico Novus, Avalanche, and the like. This is all going to happen. And the reason why this is going to happen is because this is a long time coming. Now, they are, and the particulars, you're going to have to read up on it, but on a high level, I think that what's transpiring is that typically, if you were going to go and utilize your digital assets to buy a house, you'd have to sell it. You'd incur a tax consequence. You'd incur a lot of things. But meanwhile, you really don't want to sell it. You wanted to go leverage it to go get something because you're looking at the future. Okay. And you don't want to get rid of something now that you can hold on to. You know, you want to go and accrue value in whatever you have. Okay. For your net worth. And them making this change is going to be a trickle. It's going to be a trickle down effect because now you're going to have more of this happening. I promise you that in 2026, you're going to see a lot of this transpiring, and all those that are holding, layer one native tokens, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Pico Novus, Avalanche, XRP, and those type of tokens, there's going to be a big benefit there. Those that are holding stable tokens, stable coins like USDT, USDC, and a few others, they're also going to be of a utility. Thing is with the stable coins, they don't move, right? So it's not a matter of you losing out on an opportunity for the future. Now with Bitcoin and other layer one native tokens, that's a different story because it hasn't reached this height. It hasn't reached the pinnacle. Just imagine having to use Bitcoin at 60-something thousand to go buy a home. You have to sell it and go buy a home. Then all of a sudden, in 2 years' time, it's at 400,000. You just left a lot on the table. So what's happening here is that they're doing a big favor to holders of digital assets, and it's fantastic because now that's one step. You're going to see this go, and it's going to trickle down to the banking sector. Is going to trickle down to a lot of different areas. We've already seen the NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange. They're already working on tokenizing equities. You're going to see more of that transpiring. Okay, and as I said, the future of finance is blockchain technology, is digital assets. You know, of course, Bitcoin is like digital gold. That's kind of like in a class of itself. You know, the blockchain itself, is a little archaic. It's old. It can't handle the things that an Ethereum, Solana, Pico Novus, or Avalanche can handle. Okay, so the higher end technology type of deals you'll see on those type of chains, and that has to do with smart contracts and basically programmable activities that are going to take place, programmable actions, autonomous actions, and things of that nature, which is what institutions want. Right, and adhering to a level of compliance and high fidelity data helps with all that, and it makes it really, really interesting. When I talk about, you know, having scale, okay, Ethereum by far, beyond Bitcoin, by far is the largest, most, how can I put it, most utilized blockchain as far as their protocol is concerned. You know, you have wallets, you have platforms, you have DeFi, you have TraFi, you have all this stuff going on because they have the ERC-20 standard, which is, you know, universal across a lot of platforms, but you have to adhere to it. Okay, you have, you know, Solana doesn't adhere to that. They have their own protocol, but you have, you know, like Avalanche, they have their own protocol, but they also adhere to ERC-20. You have Pico Novus that, you know, as of, I think, by next week, it's going to adhere to ERC-20, but also, you know, adhere to ERC-1400 alongside its PMP-16 protocol. That's a big thing because you're talking about high fidelity data, you're talking about compliance, you're talking about having the ability to go and run on Ethereum's rails. Becomes very interesting, and it's going to be very expansive for the platform. And as I said, you know, I believe that in the mortgage arena, this is a long time coming. You had people playing in the space, NFTs for real estate, blah, blah, blah. But now let's get real. You know, let's get real. Let's start getting into the heavy duty finance of it all. Okay, the financial sector, the institutional sector, they need the compliance end of it. They need something that is not just, you know, on a decentralized level, but something that can be custody and that type of thing. Something that can't be tampered with, something that's transparent. And when you're talking about tokenization, when you're adhering to certain protocols, and I'm going back to the protocols, ERC-20 for the expansive utilization, ERC-1400 for the compliance, PMP-16 for the high fidelity data. These are the protocols that are there. And other protocols are going to be put on Pico Novus, but you have, you know, other platforms, like you have Hyperliquid. You know, they have a whole bunch of connectivity, but when you're talking about protocol level integration, is different than having bridges. Bridges can be broken. They can be hacked. That's part of that problem, you know. But when you have these players in the space, I'm pretty sure they're looking to make this as seamless and as secure as possible. All right. And now, with that said, it's going to open up a lot of opportunity. The mortgage business is going to change. The real estate business is going to change. And those people that have been embracing blockchain and tokenization and digital assets, the crypto space, they're already ready for this. They're ready to rock and roll. And I think that we're going to see a lot of things going on. I'm excited about it because it's going to allow a lot of things to transpire within the financial space. Now, with that said, what I want to do for the remainder of the show, because this is a short show today, you know, we're in the weekend, but I wanted to go and play an overview of how FGA Partners is going and utilizing blockchain and tokenization, and they're doing this on the Pico Novus network. They created an architecture and financial infrastructure that is pretty amazing and what it can do. As opposed to me getting too far into it, I just want to play the audio. I want you guys to listen, and it's an educational experience as well, right? But take a listen and you'll get a good idea of what is going on there. It is for public and private companies, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this happening as we move forward. So hang on and take a listen to this audio.
Let me ask you a simple question. What if your company could strengthen its balance sheet, raise capital, and access global institutional liquidity? Without giving up equity, and without taking on toxic financing, that's exactly what we're building at FGA Partners. At its core, we introduce something called a digital asset treasury, or DAT. Think of the DAT as a locked, blockchain-based reserve of assets that sits on your balance sheet. It's not speculative, it's not tradable, it's structured, secured, and immutable. FGA Partners builds this treasury, and we seed it with digital assets. Inside that treasury, you can have a combination of Digital assets like Piku coins or USXM stable coins invested by FGA partners. A digital representation of your company's private or public stock locked with a registered custodian or transfer agent, if a digital instrument is issued. Tokenized real-world assets, or approved Layer 1 and Layer 2 blockchain assets that the company may own. Everything inside the DAT is locked, transparently held in the company's name, and designed to serve one purpose. And that is collateral. Now here's where it becomes powerful. Because once that treasury is in place, your company can unlock new capital formation pathways using blockchain, a stronger, more modern balance sheet, global investor access, both private and institutional, and most importantly, the ability to raise capital without diluting shareholders. On top of that treasury, FGA partners structures and mints a digital instrument. There are two primary options. First, a digital credit note token, or DCN. This is essentially a blockchain-based debt instrument that allows you to raise capital in a non-dilutive way, with optional conversion features. Second, a composite asset token, or CAT. This is more of a venture-style, equity-linked instrument, with hybrid characteristics and even redemption features. Both of these are fully collateralized by the DAT, built on the Piku Novus blockchain, designed with institutional standards like ERC-20 and ERC-1400 in mind, and supported by high-fidelity data frameworks via PNP-16 standards. This is not experimental infrastructure. This is institutional-grade architecture, and we're not stopping at issuance. Looking forward, these instruments can gain access to institutional-only OTC trading desks, and potential inclusion in the HOOTDEX central limit order books for trading. This creates controlled liquidity pathways, without compromising the integrity of the underlying treasury. So when you step back and look at the full picture, what FGA Partners delivers is not just a digital asset investment. We deliver a digital asset enhanced balance sheet, a collateralized financial framework, and a scalable bridge between traditional finance and blockchain infrastructure, all designed to help a viable public or private company grow, raise capital intelligently, and compete on a global stage while promoting global inclusion. This is the evolution of corporate finance, and it's already here. Now that we've introduced the concept of the digital asset treasury, let's take the next step. Because the real question becomes, how do you actually use that treasury to raise capital? This is done via two primary instruments, as we mentioned: digital credit note tokens and venture tokens. Let's start with digital credit note tokens, or DCNs. At a high level, a DCN is a blockchain-based credit instrument. But here's what makes it different. Every single DCN is fully backed by real, verifiable collateral. Not projections, not future revenue assumptions, but actual assets. Those assets sit inside the company's digital asset treasury, which is locked, auditable, and immutable on-chain. So instead of issuing equity, your company can raise capital by issuing a DCN that is backed by one or more of the following: digital assets like Piku coins or USXM stable coins, tokenized real-world assets, and other approved Layer 1 native tokens that may be wrapped. What does that unlock? An avenue for non-dilutive capital raises. Fully transparent, on-chain reporting. Flexible structures that can behave like debt or hybrid instruments. And strong appeal to global investors seeking yield and transparency. These instruments are initially priced and discovered on HOOTDEX, creating a standardized environment for valuation and access. Companies that are already looking at DCNs and doing so for growth financing, infrastructure expansion, working capital funding, and project-based funding. So that's one side of the equation, raising capital without giving up equity. Now let's talk about the other side. Unlocking liquidity without selling shares. This is where venture token series come into play. Venture tokens are designed primarily for private companies and their shareholders. They solve a very specific problem: how do you access liquidity without triggering a sale? Here's how it works. A shareholder's equity is locked with a custodian. Then that equity is digitally represented on chain and then placed into the digital asset treasury. Important distinctions are that these tokens do not transfer ownership. They do not trade as equity. They simply represent locked shares held securely in custody. Those digital representations, combined with other treasury assets, are used to collateralize venture tokens. So again, just like DCNs, you now have a fully backed, transparent instrument with real, verifiable value behind it. These can take multiple forms, such as composite asset tokens, commodity-linked tokens, project-level tokens, hybrid structures, each tailored to the company's specific capital and liquidity needs. For companies, they will have the option to access liquidity without selling shares, avoid shareholder dilution, and maintain control. For investors, they will be able to gain global exposure to private assets, participate in collateral-backed instruments, and benefit from full on-chain transparency. Now, from an investor standpoint, both DCNs and venture tokens are designed with institutional discipline. They include the following: defined holding periods, which are typically between 3 to 12 months. After that, they will be potential peer-to-peer liquidity via acceptance into the HootDex central limit order book. And over time, exposure to institutional-only OTC environments. All of this is built using ERC-20 compatibility, ERC-1400 compliance frameworks, and high-fidelity data standards via PNP-16 frameworks. This all on takes place on the Piku Novus blockchain. And here's an important final piece. Redemption. After a defined period, typically 2 to 4 years, the issuer can offer redemption options. That means investors may receive a proportionate share of the digital assets like Piku coins or USXM stablecoins or other digital assets held in the DAT, or an equity conversion option at the issuer's option. So when you bring it all together, you now have a system where capital is raised without dilution, liquidity is created without forced selling, and everything is backed by transparent, verifiable collateral. This is how capital markets evolve, from trust-based systems to collateral-based, transparent infrastructure. And that shift is already underway. If you want to learn more, please go to fgapartners.com.
All right, as I said, you're looking at the future of finance, and there are a lot of things going on with FGA Partners and the Piku Novus Network and basically everything, all the other platforms out there. Just keep in mind, as Ethereum and ERC-20 continue to evolve and expand and grow, it's going to bring all the other blockchains that integrate it on a protocol level on with it. Because with Piku Novus, it's not only ERC-20 and ERC-1400 that is being integrated, but that also brings the Ethereum virtual machine into the picture, okay, on a protocol level, not as a bridge or anything like that. Changes the game, all right? But anyway, wanted you guys to listen to that. And there's no trading, so I'm not going to wish you a great trading day, but I do want to wish you a great weekend, and we'll be back with you next week with another show, another episode of Money Never Sleeps. Thank you.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio, in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Belathkath and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.